What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to episode number 16 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
And this is Neil Huntley.
And we are so happy that you have come back to join us for some more Reverent Babble. Right now, we are actually not in my house. We are actually in Neil's living room this time.
Yeah. We're on special location today because I'm at home on a Tuesday, not by choice. Okay. Our refrigerator went out this past Saturday.
Oh, no.
After being on hold with Whirlpool for almost an hour and a half, they finally called and said, "Hey, we'll get a third party out there to work on your fridge on Thursday." And I was like, "Thursday? Come on, man. I don't want to wait till Thursday for a fixed refrigerator."
Yeah, I know.
And then thankfully, that third party called and said, "Oh, we can come tomorrow between the hours of 8 and 4. I said, okay.
So pretty much all day you have to wait.
So I didn't know Whirlpool and Spectrum were on the same work schedule. I don't know why they can't just say we'll be there at a certain time within 30 minutes of early or late. But, yay, I got to have to spend 8 hours of sick time at work to sit at home and wait on a refrigerator man.
Hey, wow, that sounds like, I was actually pretty close to saying fun, but I know that's not a lot of fun. But, hey, I'm here to at least be with you for the next, hour or a little bit more for this podcast.
It would be a little bit more fun, Cody, if it was sunny outside because I could get some yard work done. I tried mowing yesterday while I was at home because I came home because it rained.
Hopes
that a repairman could come yesterday.
Right.
That had happened. So I've already used some sick time at work. As you can tell, I'm on my soapbox already. It'd be nice to, if I'm stuck at home, I might as well get some yard work done. But that didn't happen today because it's so daggone wet. But anyway, we're here. We're in the metropolis of Wingate this time.
Yes.
We're not in Marsh, Vegas.
No, we are not.
Shout out Randy Travis. Love you, bud. but hey, what's new with you, Cody?
Let's see. I watched the MLB trade deadline come and go. I watched that pretty much all yesterday afternoon as of this recording. The Red Sox made a couple moves, none of which I was really that invested in, just because, we're not that great anyway.
Right.
But anyway,
I was saving my rant about sports for sports time, but if you want to go ahead, that's fine.
Oh, trust me, I got plenty more. I got plenty of things I can rant about even more during our sports segment, so don't you worry about that.
Oh, can't wait.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so it was a pretty good week. I got to chill out for a little bit. I got to, I got to watch some baseball all week. I got to watch some more of the NBA and NHL playoffs, and watch some more sports during the week while I'm chilling out. I honestly really haven't done a lot this past week. I've really just been taking some time to look at some college application stuff. I'm trying to finish out that whole process before classes begin in a couple weeks from now. So I've been taking a look at that. But other than that, though, like I said, just been chilling out and watching some sports.
I hear you, man.
Yeah, man. So how about you?
My refrigerator broke, and I'm waiting on a guy to fix it.
There you go.
That's all on my mind right now, Cody.
I don't blame you there.
Maybe the guy, if he shows up while we're recording, we can interview him or something.
Yeah, hey, that'd be kind of fun. Yeah.
Hey, welcome. Fix our refrigerator. Hope it's in the warranty. And you want to be on the podcast?
Wouldn't that be like our third surprise guest in a row for episodes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or our third surprise phone call or whatever?
Right. Well, Amber, unless she's on planning right now, she ain't going to call because she's at work right now.
So. Okay. Okay. So chances are we won't have a phone conversation with her during this episode?
No, not today.
Probably not. Okay.
Well, cool deal. Well, we got a good show lined up. We got a double play Devo coming up, and then we got some baseball to talk about.
Yes, we do.
We got some NBA to talk about. Got some football to talk about. So let's get going. Hey, y'all. It's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what. Just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today. And just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, Please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see us, you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Reverend Babble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, at Reverend Babble on Instagram, keeping it simple. And just search Reverend Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play Devo portion of the show. And it's like we've said in previous episodes, we are a podcast that'll talk about different topics in sports and, you know, like, you know, in sports and entertainment and all those kind of things like that. But we are first and foremost a Christian podcast, and we just like to take this time of the show just to, you know, like, share our life experiences and different topics and verses of scripture that have come to our minds. And we just wanted to share them with you guys because they've had a major impact on us in some way, and we just want to see if they can maybe have an impact on you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like Cody said, we love sports, but we love Jesus too. And, you know, absolutely. I just feel like we wouldn't be doing this podcast and doing this justice if we didn't glorify God in some type of way while we were recording.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I try to take any chance I can to further his kingdom and talk about him. But today, Cody, I want to talk about God's path for us.
All right.
And how sometimes we're so bent on going our own way.
Right.
That we don't see God's path right beside us, almost. And I'll tell you where I got this idea from. It happened yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Either it was yesterday or the day before.
All right.
Usually, all right. When I get home from work and Amber and Graham come home, usually Graham wants to stay outside and play, unless it's too hot or raining, things like that.
Right, yeah.
Usually, we'll play in the front yard for a little bit. And for y'all that know me or know where I live, we live right beside the church, right beside Midway. And he knows where the playground is at church. So he'll make a beeline towards the playground every time.
He'll be like, yay, Dad's home. Let's go play.
Yeah, that's right. So he'll either want to walk over there or we'll ride the lawnmower over there. And but he knows exactly where it is. But it was either yesterday or day before yesterday. We were over there playing. And he likes playing with the fence over at the slides. Like the little, you know, metal fence over there. And he likes opening and closing it, opening and closing it, you know. But this time, he was one piece of fence too far over to the left. He wasn't at the part that opened. He wasn't at the gate.
Okay.
But he was at a part that had two posts that looked like the gate in his eyes, right?
Right.
And he was trying so hard to open it. And we were just saying, look, it's right there. Like, literally, if he'd walked 3 feet over to the right, he could have walked out.
Right.
But he was so determined.
He was so determined that was the gate, and he was going to open that somehow.
Yeah, that was the way that he was blind to the actual gate. Even though we were saying, it's right here, right here, right here. We had to, like, move him to show. And he was, he didn't say, oh, okay. But you could see it in his mind. He's like, oh, there it is, you know.
Right.
And but he did that two or three times. And I looked at Amber, and I said, How biblical is this? Like, how awesome is this? It's like a perfect example of how it is in our daily walk with Christ sometimes. Sometimes we get so interested, so bent on going our own way and trying to get past obstacles on our own that are impossible to get past on our own. There was no way Graham was going to open the fence from that way. No way.
Right.
Unless he's just got superhuman strength and I need to take him on the road right now and make some money off of it. But that's not going to happen. You know, child labor laws and all that stuff. But I was just thinking, you know, where he was so bent on doing that, yet the opening was right there. And just like that with our lives, you know, I know I'm repeating myself, just kind of get back my thoughts back on track. But we run into these obstacles when we're, you know, trying to do things our own way. And we're like, I can't move. I can't keep going. Why is this happening? And God's just like, here's your way out right here. You know, so that's what made me think about, you know, sometimes God's path for us is a whole lot closer than we think it is. And that's the whole meaning of this devotion today. And I'm pulling up the scripture right now. And so the scripture that I was looking up is out of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." So we don't need to lean on our own understanding, whether it's like a job, or whether right. it's where to go to school for you, or it's whether, you know, whether to date this person or marry him later on down the road, or just anything in life. Don't just take your own thoughts into it. Take God's words into it too. Read it in scripture.
Right.
Pray about it. He's not going to physically say, yes, you should take that job, or yes, you should go to that school. But you'll feel that peace about it, that you know He's saying, this is part of the will, right?
Right,
or
right,
you'll have
yeah.
that anxiety or that anxiousness about it, and that kind of doubt as Him saying, maybe this ain't it, you know? And no's not a bad answer, okay? I thank God every day for the no's He told me. I'm very thankful for all the no's He told me.
Oh, same here. Quick story about that, and then I'll turn it back over to you. But anyway, you know, like, I was graduated this past year from high school, but going into this year, I was actually thinking about taking a couple of classes at a small private Christian college in Patron, South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend who worked with me during my junior year with the Wingate team, and he was actually one of the coaches for that little small private Christian school's baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and for those of you that have known me for a while, even though I talk about sports and I know a lot about sports, I've never played an organized game of sports, like being part of a team
sure.
or anything like that, you know, before. So something that I was thinking about was actually taking a couple of classes down there, because for that school, all you got to do is take a couple of classes to be considered, you know, like you're at that school to be eligible to play. So I only have one more year, you know, because I was a senior, I was going to graduate this year. So what I was thinking is maybe I could take some community college classes at the same time, which I was already taking, with a couple classes at that school, and I could be a part of that school's baseball team for 1 year.
Just yeah.
To, you know, like to just say that I would be able to play organized baseball, and I say that I actually was able to do that for a little bit. So, you know, like, after obviously, like, careful consideration and praying about it and all that sort of stuff, I just didn't feel like that was what I should be doing. I felt like I should just kept on doing what I was doing, because I didn't feel that's what, you know, God was telling me to do, because I was trying to chase my own small little dream that I had.
Yeah.
When the path that God had already laid out for me and I was already going into was already in front of me, but I wanted to make my own version of that path at the same time by playing baseball and doing that. And it turns out that if I tried to do that, I wouldn't have been able to play but for about 2 weeks, because then COVID happened.
Really?
And the season that would have happened got canceled after like 2 weeks.
How about that?
So all of that work I would have gone through to just be able to play a couple months of baseball would have been pretty much for nothing, because the season only lasted like a week and a half, 2 weeks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing after that, you know, so kind of seeing after that had already passed, you know, like, it kind of goes back to like what you said, even though we may see opportunities that seem pretty cool, you know, like seem pretty cool, or see something that's like, okay, this would be a cool thing for me to do, you know, or seem pretty cool for me to do, and I was able to do, because I had talked to my friend about that, the guy I work with, and he was completely fine if I had tried to do that. But then praying about it and then just seeing the other options that were already on the table and the path that I was already on, it turned out to not be a good idea to do that. And in the end, it ended up obviously being a good thing that I didn't end up
right.
doing that.
Right. It made me think of the time when I thought about this and was kind of going over, you know, memories that I have where God, and when I say God says no, it's not out of a, like, a mean way.
Oh,
it's more
no,
of a
no,
hang on just a second, you know,
right.
Which that second can be longer than a second sometimes.
Right.
Like, no, just hang on a second. Let's try something else. Was when I played football in high school. You know, I told you in my testimony, that was my life when I was in high school.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Football. And I wasn't the best at it. I'm not sitting here telling you I was a 4-star recruit anywhere. That's not the case at all. But I really enjoyed it and thought it could take me somewhere, you know?
Oh, right.
And
sure.
I was so bent on doing it my way. You know, I didn't ignore God or like disrespect God at all.
Right.
I was saved and I was in church and things like that. But I was so bent on my mindset just being football, you know?
And right, yeah.
As a way of refocusing, God allowed me to get hurt. You know, it sounds weird. God allowed me to get hurt. he allowed me to get hurt so I could refocus. And I knew once I got hurt that football was done. I didn't like it at first. I was kind of like Graham sitting there with an impossible obstacle going, let me through this, you know. Right, and God yeah. saying, won't you just look a little bit to the right? Like I was telling Graham, just look a little bit to the right, Bubba. You know, it's right there. And he showed me this path to Caswell, to getting involved down there, and which led me to the path to meeting Amber, and path to get married, and path to having Graham, and path to sitting right here on the couch with you having recording a podcast.
Hey!
So, I mean, you know, these things that we see, and it's ironic that we're talking about this today, and we'll, for reasons me and you will keep to ourselves for right now,
yeah.
that we're talking about, you know, looking at dreams and seeing how awesome it would be to do that, but we have to sit back and pray about it and focus on it and make sure we're not leaning on our own understanding, just like right. it says in Proverbs.
Right, absolutely.
And trusting God in this situation and making sure, you know, because sometimes dreams come with sacrifices. You know, sometimes our stuff comes here and there where we have to give some things up, but we have to trust God through this because he'll give us the peace in whichever decision is made, whichever way we go. But we have to trust God on it. We can't lean on his own understanding because just like David said in Psalms, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path.
Right.
Walking around without God, we're just going to keep tripping and falling because we're walking in darkness. We need that light. We need his light. We need the light, capital L. So that's all I wanted to talk about. I know we really did more just talking and reminiscing about stuff today and during the Devo, but that was just what God laid on my heart. And,
oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Cody, later on, when you're older and maybe have kids and people that have kids right now or are about to have kids, you're going to see so many examples of God's love for us and your love for your kid. Now, of course, God loves us more than we love our children. And
right.
we're supposed to love God more than anything else on this earth. Just like Pastor Barry said at church this past Sunday, yeah, love your spouses, but you're supposed to love God more than your spouses. And
right.
Amber knows I love God more than her, and I know that she loves God more than me. And that's not like, you know, saying she don't love me or I don't love her, but we can't put another human being on a higher pedestal than God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to what I was saying about so many examples was, you know, just like the unconditional love that God has for us. You know, Graham can pitch a fit sometimes. He's 18 month old. He's going to pitch fits. You know, he's a kid, and he's a kid born in sin just like we all are. But just seeing, you know, he can be upset. He can throw a tantrum, which he doesn't do that often. But you still love him no matter what, you know.
Right.
And sometimes you have to discipline and tell him no and take things away as a form of love. And he may get upset with that and don't understand it at the time, but as he gets older, he'll understand it. Just kind of like with us, kind of like us wanting to do our own thing. And God says, no, just wait. But we're like, but I want this really bad, you know?
Right, yeah.
And, but then later on in life, it makes more sense looking back.
It makes more sense looking back on it, right.
That's all. I'll probably have some more Devo topics in the future about my son, too. So we'll see. But that's all I had today, Cody.
Yeah, man, that's sounds awesome, man. I mean, that sounds great.
And as we go to the break for sports, Cody.
Yeah.
I just got one thing to say.
What?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, you won game one. Okay, you won game one yesterday, but it was only by 3. And we got game two tonight. If you don't know, the Red Sox and Braves are playing a 3-game series this week. So me and him are kind of at odds for the next couple days. On that note, we will be right back with some sports, folks.
Am I allowed to still do that?
I don't know. I'm just... Hey, everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
Oh, sorry, we're back from break. I've been doing that the whole break, y'all. Welcome back. It's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score. Oh, I was just a little bit late on that, but that's okay. All right.
I tried to trick you last week, and I realized that
you did not.
Like I said, your awareness rating on Madden is 99 for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about your speed or your deep throw accuracy or your catching skills.
I would say probably my speed's probably like a 37.
37.
And my deep ball accuracy is probably like a 70.
So let's put your speed at 37, but your quickness at like 97.
Oh, I know.
So that way you'll take off like a flash for like the first two steps. But
after that, I'll be really slow.
Yeah, it's like a snail. Well, cool. Well, I got some interesting things to talk about. Cody, you want to hear what I got to talk about sports this week?
No.
Okay, then you just start talking. I'm
just kidding. Yes,
fridge man's here, but he's not. Come on, dude. I'd rather not sit at the house all day. I feel like I'm arrested in my own home, having to wait till he gets here. But well, anyway, that's beside the point.
Neil. So something that I found out, and I'm sure that you already know this. If someone gives you a timetable, they're going to be here between like this time and this time. It'll pretty much always be closer to the end time.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But my luck, Cody, I would be in the middle of mowing a field at work, and he'd say, hey, I'm 15 minutes away, and I wouldn't get there in time or something like that. Or he wouldn't call at all and just leave a note saying, we'll reschedule. I have no chance at rescheduling. I need to get this done because the warranty's almost up. But this isn't fridge time. It's sports time. All right. We had the regular season finale in NASCAR on Saturday night. Excuse me. I'm so used to saying cup races on Sunday. It was on Saturday night.
Yes, it was on Saturday.
What
this week.
Awesome last 20 or 30 laps that was, right?
Oh, I know.
So we had the Coke Zero Sugar 400, right? Well, I can't just be Coke Zero Coke. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona. Wow.
Oh, I know.
You watched some of it, right? Yeah. I mean,
yes.
I watched the very beginning and then
Yeah.
We had movie night at the house, and I kind of kept up with it here and there.
Movie night.
The movie was almost over, and Amber was getting ready to go to bed anyway, and I said, there's like 30 laps left. Can I change the channel? She said, yeah. But she actually got ready for bed and came back and watched like the last 15 laps with her. So I was good wife points, Amber. You got some extra points.
Oh, man.
So good job. I told you that there would be a big crash, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
And then I was actually right twice. There was two big crashes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we talked about last week how Jimmy Johnson, Matt DiBenedetto, and I almost said Jeff Gordon, William Byron were right there on the breakoff line of, you know, they make the top 16 make the playoffs.
Right.
Byron was 15, DiBenedetto 16,
and Jimmy Johnson was right outside 17. At 17.
So the whole race, they were flip-flopping in points based off their position. You know, like, all right, this one's in, this one's out, this one's in, this one's barely in, things like that. And so it was getting down to the wire, and Byron had a great car all night, DiBenedetto had a great car all night, and Jimmy Johnson, I hadn't seen him race that hard all
season.
In
a long time.
He was determined to at least make it in points, right? Almost win.
Oh, yeah.
And then that big wreck happened, and I was like, oh, no, where's Jimmy? Because I was cheering for Jimmy that night. Like I said, I'm not a huge Jimmy Johnson fan. I couldn't stand him in the early 2000s just because he won so daggum much.
Oh, I know. He won a ton.
I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, every Coke 600, every All-Star race, it seemed like he was, you know, doing burnouts after the race. But I was cheering for him hard Saturday night. DiBenedetto and Byron all avoided the first big wreck. All three of them, just barely. And they all kind of scooted through there together. Then there was a second one.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson did not make it.
No, he did not.
He almost did. And Matt Kenseth was spinning out of control and took out the back end of the car. And
once that happened, you just knew, like, okay, it's over now.
He finished the race. I mean, he wasn't out of the race, but he was so far back because he had to go to pit road for, you know, repairs and things like that. There was no way he was going to make up the points in the last three or four laps or so.
Right.
But William Byron, who was also in the mix of right at the cutoff line, he didn't have to worry about points. He won. He won the race.
Yeah, because he won. Which he won, which honestly surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
Considering how close he was to being out of the whole thing, you know, because before the race he was 15th, you know, because of points and everything, and the fact that he was that close to being out, and in the last race he guarantees himself a spot because of a win, I thought that was pretty clutch.
That was awesome, man. And that was his first career win in the Cup Series.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
So this is his third year, I think, with Hendrick Motorsports, and I'm talking about big shoes to fill after taking Jeff Gordon's number, right?
I mean, oh, I know, yeah.
I mean, that guy's a Hall of Famer, multiple-time champion, numerous wins. I mean, if you grew up in the 90s, you knew who Jeff Gordon was because of that Rainbow DuPont car, right?
Right.
But, I mean.
Which I did not know.
You
didn't
grow
up
in
the 90s.
It's all good.
I grew up in the 2000s.
But, yeah, so this was his first win. What a first win it was to get to cement yourself into the playoffs. He's got a lot of ground to make up. To keep contending. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it's going to be between Harvick and Hamlin to see who wins the championship this year.
Oh, yeah.
Unless something just chaotic happens in the next few weeks of racing, you know. This week they're at Darlington. I think it's Labor Day weekend this weekend, yeah.
Yes.
So they're at Darlington for, it used to be the Bojangles Southern 500, but now it's the Cookout Southern 500.
It's the Cookout.
So we're keeping it local with the good old Southern restaurants, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And Darlington, which is, you know, old school racetrack. They're going to be wearing, not wearing, they're going to be driving throwback paint schemes on the cars.
Ooh.
Which will look sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Last year they did it, and Richard Petty actually drove one of his old race cars around as a pace car, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So that was neat. Actually couldn't get him off the track. He was supposed to do like 4 or 5 pace laps, and he did like 8 or 9 of them. So he delayed the race for a little bit.
He delayed the race because he wanted to drive some more.
That was pretty funny. But it'll still be cool to see Jimmy Johnson finish out his season. He just won't be in playoff contention, which will stink a little bit. But at least now it's kind of almost like a peaceful way out. Like,
right.
He's not stressed. He's not, you know, he's not having to worry about advancing into playoffs. He can just go out there and enjoy himself in his last year as a full-time driver. He'll be back again next year here and there. But I think he wants to drive some Formula One. I think he wants to race the 500 next year.
He wants to drive in...
Formula One, but, you know, Indy Series. Formula One's over in Europe.
Right.
But still, that would be interesting to see for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That would definitely be interesting seeing Jimmy Johnson racing the Indy 500 or something. That'd be kind of interesting.
And I'm curious to see who will be the driver when he's not driving for Hendrick next year.
Right.
Because he said he wants to do part-time. Now, does Rick Hendrick want a part-time driver, or does he want a full-time driver in that 48 car to contend for playoffs? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know how that works if you have two drivers, because points are with that one driver, not the car, you know?
Uh-huh.
So how does that work? That's something I had to find out. Like, just for example, Bubba Wallace might not drive the 43 next year. What if he gets bumped up to the 48 and him and Jimmy Johnson split the races? Who's the points good? I don't know.
Who the points, right.
That's the question I need to ask my buddy Parrish about, because that dude loves some NASCAR. Shout out, Parrish. Hope you're listening. But let's move on to the next topic. Got some more news about the Hornets, man.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about last week how it's awesome that they got the number 3 pick in the draft, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they are going full-on new generation of Hornets basketball this season. You know, not this season, but last we got rid of Kemba. This was the first season without him. He's playing great with the Celtics, by the way.
It looks
awesome to see him balling out with the Celtics. But they are almost did a complete rebrand. They kept the logos and colors, of course, but they have new uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And a new court. I posted them on Instagram last night.
And they look awesome.
Oh, I love them. Some people are a little skeptical about them. I think this is just because they're so new.
Right.
And look so different from what we've had since the Hornets' name came back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I thought the first version of the Hornets 2.0 jerseys were a safe design.
I like
the stripes on the side, how it's kind of like an ode to the pinstripes that used to be. But we got pinstripes again, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Got double pinstripes. I like how the home jerseys say Charlotte on them, just like the old ones did. You were talking about before we hit record, it's a perfect mixture, right?
Right.
It's a perfect mixture of old school and the new school.
It's like you get the feel of the old jerseys, you know, like with the pinstripes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get the feel it's a new jersey because it has like the new branding look and design and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good mixture of the two. It's a good mixture of the old 80s/90s Hornets with the new Charlotte Bobcats/Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, right. But my only criticism about these new uniforms, Cody, is a lack of purple in them.
I love the
teal. Purple and teal, that's the two most, I mean, the Hornets, especially in the 90s, that was like the most iconic jersey out there. I mean, you had rappers. I mean, the Backstreet Boys had pictures where they were in Hornets uniforms. You had people wearing the Hornets starter jackets. I mean, that was almost like a pop culture thing in the 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
And I really think if we can build something special with the roster and it keeps looking promising, way better than it did in the past few years.
Oh, yeah.
We might can get back to that pop culture status because we have some of the most awesome colors in the league, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not saying it's because I'm a fan of them.
Right.
I will say, you know, I wish there was more purple on them. The purple's more of an outline kind of outline color on there. The away jerseys will have to grow on me a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a little too much white on the away jerseys for my liking. I wish they would replace some of the white with some purple.
Right.
But
with
I mean,
some purple, so you can at least sort of feel that they are including the purple a little bit more.
Right. Which their icon jerseys will still be the purple cha jerseys for one more year. When you make new icon jerseys, they have to be in rotation for at least 2 years. So the year after next, we'll get new icon jerseys, which will probably still be purple. Because, you know, there's no home and away jerseys anymore. It's association
it's
and statement or something like that.
Right.
I can't remember how. I know association is white, but I get the rest of them mixed up. But that's Nike's doing. Somebody asked in their little meeting when they revealed all the stuff yesterday was what, because they keep harping about how they wanted to do an ode to the retro stuff,
like
the old school stuff. Somebody said, well, why don't you just go back to the old logo and to the old uniforms? They can't. The NBA won't allow it. It's copyrighted as a classic logo and classic uniform.
Right.
So they can wear the throwbacks only a certain amount of time of the year.
Right, certain amount of games a year.
So this was their best attempt to get as close to that throwback as they could legally. Even though they own the rights to the Hornets between 88 and 02 before they moved to New Orleans, you know, they own that history still.
Right.
That's why they still have Bobby Fields jerseys hung up in the rafters. But they can't go fully on back to the retro. So I think this was a great attempt of doing the best they can to go back, which with still keeping the modern logos and theme of the Hornets now. I'm excited to see what else they have in store. But they didn't just do uniforms yesterday. They unveiled a new court.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So the court they had when they came back, I love the court.
Oh,
but it was time for a fresh face on it. But I was kept thinking, you know, just keep the honeycomb design. Keep the honeycomb because there's nothing else like that in the NBA.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But so they kept the honeycomb design.
Yes, they did, liked.
Inside the three-point line is a plain wood, which is cool. But what I really like is the paint inside is teal with honeycomb.
Oh, I know.
That
like,
is sweet because that
looks
also
so cool.
That's also a mixture of retro and new.
Yes.
Because when they have the retro court when they're wearing the throwbacks, especially y'all that watch the Hornets in the 80s and 90s, they had honeycomb in the paint, which is cool. So it's cool that they brought that back. It would have been super duper awesome if they had put the basketballs back on there like they had on the old court.
Oh, I know.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah.
But I can live without that. But, you know, Jordan Brand was very involved in this.
Of course.
Of course. Because it's the owner and it's a satellite company of Nike. And apparently they've been working on this since 2016. So that's, I think out of all, besides where's the purple at? Great job. Great job on the rebrand because we've seen some rebrand this year that have looked terrible.
Oh, I know.
Rams. but great job. I'm excited to see the players in it. Some people say it's too much like Carolina Blue. Well, Carolina Blue's kind of been in their color scheme for a while.
Right.
The owner's Michael Jordan, and we play in North Carolina, so it's okay to have a little Carolina Blue in there, but it's not. It's teal. It's a very bright light. Turn your brightness down on your phone. It's okay. but that's all I'm going to say about that. But keeping talking about the NBA, I mean, I tell you what, man, the playoffs have been phenomenal.
Oh, I know. They've been so fun.
My goodness. I mean, we just saw last night, being Monday night, that Thunder forced a game 7.
Yes, they did.
With the Rockets. So by the time this episode comes out, we'll have a winner in that series.
Right, we'll have a winner in that series and move on.
I mean, tell you what, Chris Paul has been killing it.
Oh, dude. I know.
I mean, he's kind of carrying that team, but he's got a decent team around him. But I think they're definitely taking the Rockets by surprise. The Bucks lost last night.
They lost to the Heat last night in the first game of one of the East semis. So.
Yeah, it sure did. So I mean that's something to definitely keep an eye on. But they also lost the first game to the Magic and then just embarrassed them the rest of the series too.
Well, that's true too.
And then the Celtics, like I mentioned, Kemba earlier. You know, a lot of people said watch out for Toronto, even without Kawhi Leonard this year, to watch out for Toronto in the playoffs.
Oh, and, yeah.
I know it's only one game out of best of 7, but the Celtics took care of them in game 1 for sure. And Kemba was a big part of that. And as much as, you know, as much as it tastes bad in my mouth to say it because he was a Duke player, Jason Tatum is amazing, dude.
Oh, I know. He has been amazing, like, for really the whole playoffs. He's been,
oh my goodness,
he's been like that team's MVP of the playoffs so far.
And
you can make an argument for that.
And this sounds really weird coming out of my mouth being a Carolina fan, but there are a few Duke players that I can say I do appreciate how good they are at basketball. Jason Tatum one of them. Zion being one of them. Minus all the hype that he had last year, like talking about, he's a really good basketball player, and he wasn't much of a – he didn't show off too much besides just playing. He just went out and played ball. You know, Grayson Allen, don't get me started on Grayson Allen.
No.
Don't get me started on J.J. Redick either.
No, please don't get me started on Grayson Allen either.
I'm not old enough to talk about Christian Laettner, but I know people that are that can't stand him either. But like him, Jabari Parker was a really good Duke player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people like that that just really went out there and showed why they were the D1 basketball player.
Right.
So, but yeah, Jason Tatum been tearing it up. And I got just one more thing to mention about basketball, then I'll hand it over to you for baseball.
No, it's all good.
Have you kept up with this Nuggets and Jazz series?
Yes, I have.
That was one of the series I was like, I'm not even going to care to watch that because this is going to be boring.
Yeah, I know. Neil, here's the thing. Whenever the playoffs first started, the first series I looked to was the Mavs versus Clippers series.
Right.
That was the series I said, I'm going to watch this one the whole way through.
Sure.
And, you know, like, I'm going to watch that series and nothing else, like, if nothing else. And, man, I missed out on watching live anyway, on watching that Jazz versus Nuggets series live. I mean, like, that has been a great series.
It's been,
back and forth.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has been taking over for the Jazz, which the Hornets passed up on him.
Yes, it's okay. Okay.
Not talking about Hornets. Talking about Jazz Nuggets.
It's okay, Neil. Just look to the future.
That's right. Keep looking. That's right.
Look to the future.
I'm looking with my eyes closed for some reason. But you know, Donovan Mitchell's been playing amazing for the Jazz. Jamal Murray on the Nuggets.
Oh my gosh.
Goodness, dude. What was it like? It was like 52 points, 42 points,
yeah,
and 50 points after that.
I know. He's been insane.
No turnovers at all. I mean, there's a run joke on some other podcasts that the Nuggets and Jazz are almost the same team, basically.
Yeah.
Which they really, I mean, they're showing that they have one guy on each team that can just take over completely.
Right.
And not have any mistakes. I'm excited for Game 7. Game 7 will be, it's either tonight or tomorrow night. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Tuesday night or Wednesday night. But, I'm excited to watch that.
Well, either way, I'm going to put aside my time to watch that.
Absolutely.
You know, watch that series because that will be a great end to that series because it has been one of, if not the best NBA playoff series this year so far.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm just going to keep sitting back and enjoying it. Absolutely. All right, Cody, let's close out the show with some baseball news.
Baseball news. All right. So the MLB trade deadline was yesterday. As of this recording, it was on Monday.
Yep.
It was on Monday. There were a lot of big trades that were made at the last minute, as you know, like as always.
Yep.
You know, but one of the teams that made a tremendous amount of moves was the San Diego Padres.
Yes, they did.
They made a ton of moves during this. You know, they made a ton of moves the last couple days leading up to the trade deadline and going into the deadline day, and then even the day of the deadline, they continue to make moves. They traded for so many players on the team. I think they traded for like 7 players.
Yeah, I mean,
to add to their team.
They made so many moves, and I'll tell you what, Cody, in all my years of being a baseball fan, which I mean, I think I went to a Braves game when I was like 3 or 4 years old, my first Braves game. So it's been a while. I'm 26 still. I have to remember sometimes in my head how old I am. But in all my years of being a baseball fan, this season is the most I've ever heard the phrase San Diego Padres. I'd forget about them until the Braves played them. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Padres do exist.
Right. And that's pretty much also been the case with me, you know, when I've been growing up. Because really, since I can remember, really the two best teams in that division have been the Giants and the Dodgers. You know, like obviously the Dodgers have recently been really good, you know, but the Giants were also really good for like 5-6 years there. You know, they were always in playoff contention for a while. You know, even teams like the Colorado Rockies went to the World Series in 2007, so they've at least been good for at least a little bit.
Yeah.
And so like really all their teams in their division other than the Padres have really not been talked about that much in recent years. But now the Padres are the team that's really one of the better teams to be feared in the National League and even the whole MLB as a whole. I mean, like,
I credit to them going back to the old brown and yellow colors.
Brown, oh yeah, same here.
Classics.
Oh yeah, Oh, yes. Same here. I mean, like, those were definitely a really cool versions of those uniforms, and I didn't like it when they changed it up to the white and blue instead of the, you know, the white and blue. I mean, like, for what it was all right, but as far as Padres history goes, you can't change up the brown and yellow.
Absolutely.
That definitely looks pretty cool. But the Padres made a lot of trades here in the last couple of days, or last few days. I'm going to go in-depth on all the players that they got in return. The Padres got Trevor Rosenthal from the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
So, you know, Trevor Rosenthal from Kansas City Royals. He was their closer before that, so now they got a new guy they can put at the back end of their bullpen. They got first baseman Mitch Moreland from the Boston Red Sox.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as a Red Sox fan, I can tell you that was a very good trade for them because, you know, like, as a Red Sox fan, I saw Mitch Moreland play every day, and it was definitely worth the trade for them because they did need a little bit of help at first base.
Sure.
And, you know, and Mitch Moreland is definitely a great guy to add. I mean, he's been hitting really well this year, so that was definitely a good trade for them. The Padres also traded for two catchers. They also traded for the starting catcher from the Angels, Jason Castro. They got him from the Angels, and they also traded for Austin Nola from the Seattle Mariners. I bet I just kind of gave you a little bit of a scare there saying trade for Aaron Nola, but it's actually his brother Austin Nola from the Seattle Mariners.
I say, because I was like, I'm pretty sure he played for the Phillies, Cody.
Yeah. Yes. So they made all those trades, but on the day of the trade deadline was the biggest trade that they made. They traded for starting pitcher Mike Clevinger from the Cleveland Indians.
Old Tattletale.
Old Tattletale from the Cleveland Indians, and we talked about him, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
two episodes ago, and about that whole situation he had with the Cleveland Indians and all that, and, you know, and that whole thing. So he got traded to the Indians along with their outfielders, Greg Allen. They were all traded to the Padres in the last, like, 3 days.
Wow.
So the Padres have been making some killer moves, and here's the thing, Neil. You know, all those players they traded for, in addition to all the players they already had on their team with, like, Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, Chris Paddock.
Tatis Jr.
You can even throw Will Myers in there a little bit. But, like, so all those players that they already had, in addition to the players they've just traded for in the last few days, the Padres are going to be a very tough opponent for anybody who faces them in the playoffs.
For anybody
in the playoffs, and yes, that includes your Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I agree.
And the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I agree 100% with what you just said. I will not argue that for one bit, because a lot of times at this trade deadline, you see teams preparing for the future.
Right.
Right? Like, and not to get too much into your topic, talking about Braves and Red Sox trades, because the Red Sox traded some guys away as a part of their rebuild.
Right.
But what the Padres did, these were win-now trades, for sure. Absolutely. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But see, what the Padres have been doing is that the Padres have one of the best. I'm pretty sure they were actually ranked number one for their farm system. And, you know, they were ranked number one in their farm system in the whole league. So they have been building this farm system up the last, you know, like 5-6 years. And they've been building it up through trades and free agent signings and all that kind of stuff. And they've been trying to build up their minor league roster. And now developing those good prospects has come in handy now, because now they got all those good players that they just traded for, because now, along with the players they already have, because they already have a lot of young talent and a lot of guys they can build around for a long time, you know, because they got Tatis, who's only like his second season.
Yeah.
Plus you got Eric Hosmer, who's going to be on the team for the next like 5 years. Plus they also signed Manny Machado on a 10-year deal, which he's only in his second year of. So the Padres have a good core already for the next few years, along with the players they already traded for. They are going to be a very tough team to play against the next few years.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because they took so much time to rebuild and get their prospects all built up. But what's even crazy, Neil, is even after all these trades, they still got other prospects that they use in trades that they can even use to come up later. So the Padres are in really good shape.
These were top-notch business decisions from their front office.
And, oh, yes.
I was very impressed with that.
And, oh, yeah, same here.
And for a guy that really only pays attention to the Braves, really, because, I mean, that's honest, you know more about baseball than I ever will, honestly. And you know more about baseball than a lot of people do, which is a great thing to do. But for a guy like me that really only watches the Braves, to take notice of what the Padres did, you know that was impressive.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's kind of like Moneyball is what it made me think about.
Much,
it was like
yeah.
the movie and what situation with Oakland A's and all that. That was cool. It's going to be fun to see them in the playoffs. And,
oh, yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we won't meet them until the NLCS if we even make it that far. We have to win a playoff series for the first time in like 20 years before we do that. But, yeah, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And speaking of your Atlanta Braves, you guys didn't really make a lot of moves at the trade deadline.
We didn't.
No, I mean, like, you know, like you guys really only made one move, and that was trading for starting pitcher Tommy Malone from the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
You like traded for him for a prospect, and he was like, he was like already in his 30s anyway, so you didn't have to give up a lot for
sure.
him.
Yeah.
You know, and that was really the only move you made, and then his first start for he pitches 2 1/3 innings and gives up seven
yeah,
runs.
That wasn't too well, but I mean, not to give him an excuse at all, but he's played for the Orioles for a little while, right? And
right.
so he's so used to that, and that catcher, it's going to take him a few times to get,
oh yeah,
you know, I can't remember who was catching for him the other night. Was it Darnold?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And so it's going to take him a while to get used to him and Flowers and things like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, but I was honestly surprised that the Braves chose to start him because he was traded like
so
that day.
So quickly, yeah, absolutely.
He was traded that day, so it honestly did surprise me because I'm like, okay, this guy needs to get used to the system and his teammates and all that before he should even pitch.
Which I think in a normal season, 162 games,
you
he probably would have had a few more games.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody is so keen on let's take advantage of a 60-game season. You know,
oh yeah,
especially if you're in contention, you know, let's take advantage of that.
Oh yeah,
that they were just like go, you know, because you saw what we did with Fulton Nevich. He had one bad game and he was out.
Oh, I know. It's like he pitched one bad game and then he was gone.
I do hate that we traded Tuki Toussaint away.
Oh, I know.
I miss Tuki because I just love cheering Tuki. You know, I just liked cheering for Tuki, and he was pretty good too.
You know, Neil, this is honestly a pretty fun fact. The very first Red Sox game I ever watched was when the Red Sox played the Braves back in 2018, the year they won the World Series.
Yeah.
That was my first Red Sox game I've ever seen. It was against the Braves, and it was actually Tukey's major league debut.
The one that you saw in person?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. The one I saw in person, that was Tukey's major league debut. It was his first start.
I wanted to let you.
And actually pitched pretty well in that
game. I wanted you to go into further explanation because I know you've been a Red Sox fan for a long time. I just wanted it for people that don't know you, that might have took that as, oh, he became a fan their World Series year. Oh, okay. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I know you didn't jump on the bandwagon just two years ago. I know better than that.
Oh, trust me, if I was a bandwagon fan 2 years ago, I probably wouldn't even be...
You'd be jumping off right now.
You know, like, I would have already jumped on, like, the Padres bandwagon
right.
or, you know, like, the Padres bandwagon or the Twins bandwagon or some other team like that, but... No, I've definitely been a Red Sox fan longer than 2018. I just want to make that clear.
Right.
I've been a Red Sox fan for longer than a couple of seasons, so just want to make that out there. So
there you go.
No one texts me after we release this podcast and says, oh, you've only been a Red Sox fan ever since they're winning? I'm like, no.
I'll be sure to text you that tomorrow or Friday.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Neil. I appreciate that. You know, but anyway, the Braves didn't really make that many moves, but the Red Sox did trade a couple players. We traded, obviously, we talked about in the last episode how the Red Sox traded Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree to the Philadelphia Phillies for a pitcher on the Phillies who was in AAA and then one of their Phillies prospects, which I don't really see that trade amounting to a whole lot, but hey, it's at least a little something we can build around because the Red Sox pitching is definitely not that great. So if we can get any sort of pitching help either for now or for the future, I would definitely, you know, I mean, like, I'll obviously take it. And then the Boston Red Sox traded one of their relief pitchers, Josh Osich, mm-hmm. to the Cubs for some player to be named later, which...
That's so weird.
You know, which for a player to be named later or cash.
It's an optional trade. It's your classic rebuild trade. Because, I mean...
Yeah, pretty much.
A few years ago when the Braves were just in the bottom of the NL East, even below the Marlins, that's all they were doing. We're trading for prospects or trading for cash. So, I mean...
Yeah, prospects or players to be named later.
It stinks in the middle of it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When, I mean, give it a couple years. You might be sitting pretty and smiling again, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and it's not like we're one of those teams that's, like, waiting for a championship and we've been waiting, like, 100 years like the Cubs were. I mean, like, we just won a World Series 2 years ago. We won a World Series 7 years ago. We
right.
won a World Series 13 years ago.
Okay,
you know,
okay, we get it. I'm just kidding.
you know, so it's not like we're one of those teams anymore that's striving for a championship. Like, obviously, that was the case until 2004. Of course, I was 2, so I didn't really experience that.
Right.
You know, we're not one of those teams like the Cleveland Indians who haven't been to a World Series since, like, 1948 or anything. You know, we're not in that position. So, if you ask me, I'm perfectly fine with the rebuild for now. I think we need it because we have way too much money invested in a lot of players. So, if there's any way we can just take a couple years just to kind of get rid of that there and just kind of rebuild, I'm okay with that. The Red Sox also traded outfielder Kevin Pillar to the Colorado Rockies for cash, which, you know, I was honestly, which I was honestly a little bit upset, but I had the feeling he was one of those players who we would sign and he would be either, like, he would stay with us the whole year if he was bad, and if he was good, we would trade him away, and he turned out to be one of those players, which I liked Kevin Pillar because I watched him play for the Toronto Blue Jays for a long time, and I watched him play for the Blue Jays for a long time, and I remember watching him, and I was like, man, I wish we had this guy on our team.
Yeah.
And he could play really good defense in the outfield, and he wasn't that bad of a hitter either. So, so any time we could have gotten him, I was happy. And so when I heard right before spring training that we signed him, I was happy. And then when I heard he was traded, I was a little bit upset, but I had the feeling it was going to come. But, you know, that's basically the moves that the Red Sox made. We only made, like, a couple of big trades, and then we had, like, one little trade because that other pitcher I told you we traded for, like, his first full year in the big league, so he didn't pitch a lot, but we at least got some money for him. So that's basically what happened there. And a lot of other teams made some moves. The Red Sox made trades to kind of start the rebuilding process. The Padres made some big trades to win now and go to the playoffs. And the Braves kind of were content with where they're at. I mean, which I think they should be.
I'm not saying
I think that pitching will be a little bit of a concern as far as the playoffs goes.
Right.
Not really so much relief pitching, but starting pitching.
Right. Yeah, I'm not saying we have the greatest roster in the league, but we have a good roster that I didn't see the value in giving up either a good bat or a decent arm for a chance on a new guy.
Right.
Because, I mean, look at our starting lineup for our hitters.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
We have guys here and there that get out a lot, but I didn't see a guy that was...
But as far as looking on paper, you got a really good lineup.
Oh, yeah, I know. So if we can just put the pieces together on the field and not just on paper, we have a good chance of getting to the World Series this year.
Oh, you know?
I don't know. Do I think we're going to win? I mean, maybe. I would love for it to. But I'm not going to be that naive fan that says, we're going to win, we're going to win.
Right.
I would love to get to the World Series this year. We'll see.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, as far as news, that's really the only thing I had today. Like, I couldn't really find a lot of stuff to talk about. Well, like I said, I basically spent the whole day yesterday watching the trade deadline go down and down and down all day. That's basically what I did. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I got for sports this week. Hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about leading into next week's episode. We should be talking about a lot more of those NBA playoff series and how those are turning out. I'll be looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, and I'll be talking about a lot more NFL next week, too, because it'll be the week of the first game.
Right.
The week before all the main games on Sunday. That's why I kind of held off on NFL this week. But do you have any closing thoughts today, Cody? I know I kind of threw you a curveball there. But
that's all good.
Any kind of, like, it can be about anything in the world, sports, whatever. What's the closing thought that you might have for today's episode?
My closing thought is, when talking about the NFL and we're talking about the Panthers, we'll obviously talk a little bit about the Panthers next week. I just hope that the Panthers don't lose too much to Tom Brady and the Bucks in week 2.
In week 2. It is crazy that we see them week 2. That's going to be fun for sure. Is that one in Charlotte or is it in Tampa?
I'm pretty sure it's in Tampa.
It is? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's in Tampa.
If I had the schedule right here in front of me, I could tell you, but I can't remember right off.
No, I can't either.
I'm not going to take the time to Google it right now. My closing thought, it's about football too.
All right.
And like I said, I'll talk more NFL next week for sure. I'm getting to the point where I think, and I saw this on Twitter, so I'm borrowing this off a meme on Twitter. I'm starting to think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are just the Cleveland Browns with palm trees. I mean, look at what they're doing. They got rid of Calais Campbell. He's on the Ravens.
Yeah,
traded Ngakoue away, who was one of their best defensive linemen besides Calais Campbell. Jalen Ramsey, he wanted out, and they kind of needed to get rid of that situation. Blake Bortles was not a terrible quarterback.
No.
They were in the AFC Championship game just 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They almost were in the Super Bowl. And Now they have cut Leonard Fournette.
Right.
Yeah, they cut Leonard Fournette yesterday.
Right.
And I'm not saying Fournette was an amazing running back. He was pretty decent, though, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Coming out of college, I was like, hey, you know, the Panthers ought to take a look at him. And then, thankfully, we drafted Christian McCaffrey anyway.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, thankfully, we took McCaffrey over Leonard Fournette. But, man, it's got to stink to be a Jaguars fan right now. You know.
I know.
Because I saw a video on Twitter yesterday. It was a Jaguars fan.
Having
he was going through all his jerseys. Did you see that?
Jacksonville Jaguars Gardner Minshew mania, yeah, baby.
Minshew mania.
Minshew mania, baby.
I'm pretty sure they're just low-key tanking for Trevor. I think that's...
it wouldn't surprise me if they are, honestly.
They might be in the works to tank for Trevor. And but, yeah, Jaguars... what are you doing? And whoever started the rumor on Twitter that Dabo Swinney is taking a look at coaching the Jaguars next year, just stop.
Yeah, I know.
There
that was
no
crazy.
Way that he would or should leave Clemson, South Carolina.
No
that
way.
Guy has it made. If he ran for governor tomorrow, he'd probably win.
He probably would win.
Everybody in Columbia would probably vote against him, you know, being South Carolina, Clemson, all that. But, you know, that guy has it made. Whoever started that rumor, just stop. But that's all I got for my closing thoughts, Dody. Next week, we'll talk about NFL. Maybe I'll ask the listeners for their bold predictions in the NFL this year.
Oh,
that might
yeah.
be a good thing to read some people's comments on their bold predictions. It can be anything. So we'll see. But that's our show. You can reach us in the contact info that you heard in the breaks and the show notes below. Y'all have a great week. And guess what? Refrigerator Man still ain't here. So I'm going to sit here and hopefully he'll come in a little bit. But y'all have a great week. I'll see y'all next time. Cody will too. Right, Cody?
Wait, what?
Yeah, we'll see. He's over here watching tennis.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bye.